A reading from the first book of Kings. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the leaders of the ancestral houses of the Israelites, before King Solomon in Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Then the priests brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place, underneath the wings of the cherubim. And when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. This covenant that you kept for your servant, my father David, as you declared to him, you promised with your mouth and have this day fulfilled with your hand. Therefore, O Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant, my father David, that which you promised him, saying, there shall never fail you a successor before me to sit on the throne of Israel, if only your children look to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you promised to your servant, my father David. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servant prays to you today, that your eyes may be open night and day toward this house, the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may heed the prayer that your servant prays toward this place. Hear the plea of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. O, hear in heaven your dwelling place, heed and forgive. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed to be read today is Psalm 84, found on page 707 in the prayer book and on the back of the bulletin insert. We'll read it responsively by half verse. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts.
My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God.
The sparrow has found her a house, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young.
By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, our King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house.
They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you.
Whose hearts are set on those who pray.
Those who go through the desolate valley will find it a place of springs.
For the dirty rains have it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height.
And the God of gods will reveal himself in Zion.
Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer.
Hearken, O God of Jacob.
Behold our defender, O God.
And look upon the day that you are crowned.
For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 in our own room.
Stand at the threshold of the house of my God, and dwell in the tents of the wicked.
For the Lord God is both sun and shield.
He will give grace and glory.
No good thing will the Lord withhold
from those who walk with integrity.
O Lord of hosts,
happy are they who put their trust in you.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The holy gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard this, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware of his disciples, that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, for this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God, the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please be seated if possible. I have spent some of the time this last week, like probably most of Fairbanks, Now and then, at odd moments of the day, I go by Creamer's Dairy and watch the geese and the cranes. And I probably do it for a number of reasons, but I get a kick out of watching the cranes because they're full of such grace when they're flying, and they look so silly walking around out there with these heads. They're just silly looking and yet so graceful, and it's so pretty to sit out there and watch them. So I say prayers out there in the morning and the evening and the odd times of the day and watch grace and beauty and silliness, because grace and beauty and silliness are important qualities. And so grace and beauty, so in our continuing journey through the Old Testament, now this morning, speaking of grace and beauty, Solomon builds his temple. And the opening lesson this morning describes the dedication of the temple and the glory of God, the light of God, the Shekinah. This cloud of light fills the temple. That same cloud that moved across the face of the waters in Genesis, that same cloud that led the children of Israel through the wilderness from Egypt, that same cloud that will be there at the baptism of Christ in the Jordan, that same cloud that will be there at the transfiguration, that same cloud, the Shekinah, the very glory of God, fills the temple. And the lesson describes the prayer, part of the prayer. Solomon prays at the dedication of the structure. You can read through those chapters in Kings and get the description of this temple. And because the internet is filled with everything in the world, apparently, you can even take like a virtual tour of the temple, I discovered, fooling around on the thing. This temple, which takes 11 years to build, which they begin building 480 years after they've crossed the Red Sea and entered the Holy Land. This temple of beauty and wonder. And the priests carry the Ark of the Covenant in. And if you're interested, and lay it under the wings of the cherubim. Each cherubim is 15 feet tall. I figured this out last night reading it. Covered in gold. And lay it under the wings. Each wing is 7 foot long. So there's room to get under that wing. Filled with grace and mystery and beauty. And things that are hard to understand. Someplace in the chapters before this, it describes the building of the temple. And it says that the temple, which took, what did I say, 11 years, 7 years, something like that, to build? 11? That it was built in silence, that the sound of no iron axe was heard in there when they were building it. Because, you see, because iron and metal are used as weapons of war. And so no iron axes were used in the building of the temple. So then comes the question, so how do the stones get carved? How does the thing get built? Funny you should ask that question. How does it get built? Well, you see, on the Friday evening of the week of creation, as the sun was setting in that first week of creation, as the last act of creation before the coming of the first Sabbath, the Lord God created 10 marvels. And the 7th marvel he created was the Shemir, the size of a grain of barley. Now some say that the Shemir was like a magic green stone. But most say that the Shamir was like a magic worm that could cut through everything. And the Shamir, Shamir, was created for the building of the temple. And some say it remains then in the Garden of Eden until it's time for the building of the temple. And then it comes from the garden, and they use the Shamir, placing it on the stones, and the stones automatically are cut. But others say the Shamir, Shamir, you can find pictures of it. It's a little thing with a face. Others say, because see, it could, just by placing it on something, things automatically are cut. So it gets used in the Exodus when Aaron, the priest, has to have his priestly robes, and he's going to wear a breastplate with each of the stones, the precious jewels, and the names of each of the tribes inscribed on the breastplate. So how are they going to cut the names of the tribes of Israel on these precious stones? And so the scribes ink in the name of the tribe, and then the Shamir comes and is placed on the stone, and it's automatically engraved in without breaking the stone. Then it goes back to wait for them. So Solomon, in his wisdom, and when he is given the gift of wisdom, he is given the gift of all wisdom. And it's, there's any number of verses, as I read through Kings last night, that talk about more wisdom than all the world. So when Solomon is faced with the building of the temple and wonders, how is he going to do this? Because they can't use metal to cut the stones or anything. How is he going to build it? So he calls the prince of the demons, whose name we won't say in here, and says to him, "Where is the Shamir? I need it." And the prince of the demons says, "I don't have the Shamir. That's not under us. You have to talk to the king of the sea." So he calls the king of the sea and says, "Where's the Shamir?" And the Shamir and the king of the sea says, "It was given to the wood grouse. It was given to the grouse, and the grouse has been using it ever since. It would put it on rocks so that vegetation would, it would, the rocks would split and vegetation would grow and it could find food. So the grouse has had control of the Shamir since creation and since Moses." And so Solomon sends, I don't make up these stories, I just find them. I never thought a grouse would be the story, the hero of this thing. So Solomon sends his assistant to go find the grouse that has the Shamir. Now some say that the Shamir has been in an iron box filled with wool, but the wood grouse has carried the Shamir in its beak all these years, not swallowing it apparently. So the assistants find the grouse up on the side of the hill and find the nest that belongs to the grouse. And they put a glass across the nest, clear glass that you can't see because it's glass, and the grouse comes to land on its nest and can't because of the glass on top of it, and is startled and goes whack, and when it does it goes whack. The Shamir falls out of its beak and they grab, this is all the stuff you never learned in Sunday school. They grab the Shamir and carry it, and they use the Shamir then to cut the stones, because you can't use iron to build the temple. And after that, the Shamir goes back to the Garden of Eden to wait till the end of time. See, that's all the stuff you didn't hear in Sunday school. I have no idea. I have no idea. I couldn't get past the grouse part of it. I didn't know they had grouse. They got grouse in Israel? Who's been to Israel? I guess. Right? They got grouse. So what do we do with stories like this other than they're kind of fun? And really, you can find engravings of Solomon holding this weird little worm with a smiling face and fire. The Shamir, what do we do with this? Other than they're kind of fun. At the least, these stories remind us that the world is filled with wonder and mystery and things we can't understand. That the world is filled with spirit and wonder. The key verse, it seems to me, in the gospel is when our Lord says, just as the living Father sent me. And the word living there also means abiding, means lasting. That what lasts, just as the abiding Father sent me, just as the loving Father sent me, that the consistency of God as he keeps his promises, even as he promised to Solomon, even as he promised to David, and that this world is touched and filled with his love and wonder and laughter. The sign of the Shekinah's presence, the rabbis say, is joy. That's when you know the Shekinah is present. Deep joy and wonder. Our Lord, and yet the path is not easy. Our Lord looks at Peter. Our Lord looks at me and says, what about you? Are you going to leave too? When the path gets hard, when it gets difficult, what about you now? Are you going to leave now? And Peter looks at him, having no idea how hard it will get, and says, where would we go? Where else would we go? The Lord Christ is always asking me that question, is always asking each of us that question. What about you? Are you going to leave now too? Where else would we go? We have come to know, which means it takes process, which means it takes time. We have come to know and believe that you are the Holy One. The world is filled with wonder and delight and the abiding love of the Father. But that doesn't mean it's not difficult. Oh, side note, just as I'm waking up now. So I spent yesterday starting to clean out the church office, because we have to do that before the fire marshal closes us down. You don't know this story. And so I spent all day cleaning out the church office. And if you look at that office, you will never know that I did anything. But I can tell you that I moved 17 boxes into the dumpster filled with things. And I found all kinds of things. I found 20-year-old candy that's now in a bowl there in the parish hall. You can have some too. I found a handwritten letter from Hudson Stuck. God, I mean, there's all kinds of things back in there. I found innumerable boxes just filled with vestry minutes over the last 20 years. And I found the journal of Mr. and Mrs. Lumpkin, who were priests over here in 1914. And I was reading it last night, too. And they talked about, and I guess if I'd stopped to think about it, I would have realized that this world is filled with wonder and delight, but also hard things. She writes about this time of the year here in Fairbanks, right over there. And how as the steamboats would blow their whistles coming up the river, and everybody in town, no airport to run to, everybody in town would run down here to see who was coming in on the boat. And would stand there to see who was coming down, right over there. And then she talked about, and I guess someplace up there, I guess, there was a blackboard that listed what the boat was that was expected and stuff like that. And she wrote about this time of year, what it was like to look at that sign, and it said, the last boat of the season. And that was it. And the hardness of what that meant, no more contact. but also the excitement. It was fascinating to read that thing. The hardness of what that meant, but also the excitement. And if with wonder and majesty and glory and joy and spirit Solomon's temple is built, how much more does God craft his dwelling place in our hearts and spirit? The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him. It's not only a verse describing the temple in Jerusalem, but describing the beginning of prayer. Begins prayer. Keep silent. So how do we find this path? Please stand. All St. Paul says we have to do is stand. Just stand. Having done everything else, stand. That's it. But I gotta do this, I gotta do that. What about this? What about this? No, just stand there. That's it. All you have to do is stand. That's that simple. And as we stand, we continue then with the Nicene Creed. Page 326.
We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ,
the Father of God, the only begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father.
Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit,
he became incarnate
from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our safety was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. For the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken with the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. Page 329, let us pray for the whole state of Christ Church and the world.
Almighty and ever-living God, with thy holy word, has caused to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people. Receive these our prayers which we offer unto our inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of unity and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word, and that in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially catechumens, and those who serve St. Matthew's, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacrament. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life, particularly remembering today those that were baptized on this day: David, Marcina, Matthew, Teresa, Richard, Donald, George, Beverly, Kelly, Kristen, Tressie, Sarah, We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty, thanking particularly this morning the keeper of our gardens around the church. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, remembering especially the flooded communities and families of the interior, Kitson, Isaac, Kristen, Bonnie, Howard, Audrey, Linda, Carol, Beverly, Sharon, Louise, Grace, Rosemary, Paul and Mary, Felicia, Denise, Hannah, Arthur, Elmeline, Phyllis, Mary, Faith, Elaine, Vince, Dolly, Henry, Maggie, Cherokee, Sherry, Rita, Julian, Candy, Catherine, Matt and Nina, Joan, Rolf, Kathy, Byron, Alice, Isaiah, Norma, Frank, Dorothy, Caleb, Richard, Roxy, Lloyd and Bev, and Con. Also those who are traveling, those in recovery, all those serving overseas and their families, our family in Denali Center, in the Pioneer Home, in the correctional centers, and in other homes and programs, and also all those who are grieving. I invite you to mention any you care to remember today also silently or aloud. We also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, remembering this morning Lucy, Bob, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy loving service and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of Matthew and all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant these prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
In you to truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and our love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in his holy ways. Draw near with faith and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devout in you. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways, to the glory of thy name.
Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy have promised forgiveness of sins to all those who with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the word of God from all who truly turn to him. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Please stand. Peace the Lord.
thy Spirit. It's time now for announcements. We're beginning a daring innovation right now. Try to hold on to your pews. Not the way we've always done things. We're starting a daring new thing, and the vestry is going to start doing the announcements. Kind of underlying, reminding you all that there is a vestry and what they do, and giving you a chance to think. And the brave vestry member who volunteered to be the very first person to do that is former senior warden and current junior warden.
Anyway, if you look in your bulletin, there are several things. But first of all, I'd like to thank Trini for all that he does. And in his website now, he has new photos of weddings and just St. Matthew's, and he does a wonderful job. So please go onto our website and look at that. And then in the bulletin, you'll notice that the choir practice is starting September 9th, and their first service is September 20th, and they're looking for members if you'd like to participate. They start rehearsal at 6 o'clock this, on September 9th. The diocese is having a new church youth leadership training. It's called EAGLE. And the applications are due by the 28th, and it's for youth 18 through 26, if you know anyone that would like to participate. You can contact either the church office or Shirley Lee for information on that. We are having an endowment meeting tomorrow night at 5:30. We are having an endowment meeting tomorrow night at 5:30, and it will be the decisions for the grant, which will be announced September 20th at the Harvest Center.
Oh, just one.
There are a few people have asked a little bit and wanted more information on the health ministry and parish nursing. The registration deadline is September 7th, and I have a copy of the schedule hot off the computer last night. So if anybody would like to take a look at this in the back, that would be fun.
And there are two other things. The newsletter, if you have anything, it's Friday, it has to be in by this coming Friday. And if you are a delegate or an alternate to the Dyson convention, you need to see Father Scott, because we need to register you. Like all households, we're going to try to save money, and we have to get it done by tomorrow. No rush, but hurry.
Good. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Are there any visitors who would like to introduce themselves? Are there any birthdays or anniversaries? You? All right. Remember the words of our Lord is for us to be given to receive. Thank you.
come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee.
Amen.
We're on page 340 of the Book of Common Prayer. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is
very meet, right, and our bounden duty that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, Creator of the light and source of life, who hast made us in thine image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. All glory be to thee, O Lord our God, for that thou didst create heaven and earth, and didst make us in thine own image, and of thy tender mercy didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him, and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption. He made there a full and perfect sacrifice for the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel, command us to continue a perpetual memory of that his precious death and sacrifice until his coming again. For in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to thee, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me. Wherefore, O Lord and Heavenly Father, we, thy people, do celebrate and make with these thy holy gifts, which we now offer unto thee, the memorial thy Son hath commanded us to make, having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again with power and great glory. And we most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to hear us, and with thy word and Holy Spirit, to bless and sanctify these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be unto us the body and blood of thy dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And we earnestly desire thy fatherly goodness to accept this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, whereby we would offer and present unto thee, O Lord, ourselves, our souls and bodies. Grant, we beseech thee, that all who partake of this holy communion may worthily receive the most precious body and blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and be filled with thy grace and heavenly benediction, and also that we and all thy whole church may be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Ghost, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah.
O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
O Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world,
grant us thy peace.
Join me in the prayer of humble access on page 337. We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord. Trust in our own righteousness, and in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so masters of that that becomes under thy table, but thou art the same glory that causes all of us to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so we declare to thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood,
that we may
evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for you, the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with faith and thanksgiving. All are welcome to the Lord's table. We're on page 339. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-loving God, we most heartily
thank thee for that thou dost feed us in these holy mysteries with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and dost assure us thereby of thy favor and goodness towards us, and that we're very members and corporate in the ministry of the body of thy Son,
the blessed coming of all faithful people, and also heirs of hope of thy everlasting kingdom. And we humbly beseech thee, O Heavenly Father, so to assist us with thy grace,
that we may continue in that holy fellowship, and do all such good works as thou hast prepared for us to walk in, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end.
Amen. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord, giving thanks to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There's coffee and conversation in the back and various things to look at. A few treasures that I found in that room that were too nice to throw away. I've put on a table. They're free for the taking. There's the address of a nice lady in Ohio that would just like to get a letter from somebody in Alaska that's posted back there. There's all kinds of stuff back there. And the next service is in 15 minutes.